Well, dear friends, if you would like to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And these tremendous words, and words that are needed at this particular time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And well, the title this morning is All Things Together for Good. All things working together for good. Well, we come to these words this morning, and what tremendous words they are in the eighth chapter of the letter to the Romans, penned by the Apostle Paul. And these are words of great comfort for Christians at the present time, indeed for Christians in every age, those who have lived in every age, in every time. So many people have derived comfort from these words, and for various reasons, and we will look at the reasons this morning. But one of the reasons why these words are so comforting, well, it's because they speak of things that are certain, things that are certain. The Apostle Paul says, we know that all things work together for good. We know that all things work together for good. And so this is something that gives us great certainty. We have certainty here. We live, of course, in very uncertain times. We do not know what is going to happen from day to day at the present time. We don't even know what's going to happen from hour to hour. And so, we are seeking certainty. We are seeking things that are sure, that we can know for sure. And this is something that Paul says we can know for sure. We know that all things work together for good. You see, Paul is not saying this is his opinion. Paul is not saying, I think that all things work together for good, or perhaps all things work together for good. You know how so many people say, and well, they mean it in a nice way, they're well-meaning, but so many people say that, well, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Well, how do they know that everything is going to be all right? Well, they can't. They don't know that everything is going to be all right, but God does know. And the Apostle Paul is putting his trust in the Lord God. He knows that all things will work together for good. And this is the nature of the Word of God. It is a word that is certain, word that speaks of great certainty. And because it is the Word of God, of course, because it is an inspired word, this is not man's word that we read in the Holy Scriptures. This is God's word. This is the word of the living God who knows all things from the beginning to the end. This is what we have to understand about the Bible. Many people say that the Bible is just a book like any other. It's a book written by humans. But, well, we think of the Apostle Paul. He penned this letter. But really, this is the word of God. This is not his opinion, as I have just said. This is the word of God. The Bible, well, it was written by men, but one old writer put it very well. He said that those who wrote the Bible, yes, they were men, but really they were pens in the hands of the Almighty. They were pens. When you are writing something, well, you have to use a pen. It's an essential instrument. But really, it's not the pen that is writing down its thoughts. It's not the pen that is writing down what it wants to say. It's the one who's holding the pen. And this is how we interpret the scriptures. The scriptures are not the work of men. They are the work of God. They are the word of God. Men, they were just the pens in the hands of the Almighty. And so when we know that this is the word of God, we know that this is a certain word, that this is a sure word, that this is a true word. This is something else that comes through. We know, the Apostle Paul can say, we know because this is true. This is God's word. God cannot lie to us. Man can lie to us, of course. We cannot trust the word of man. If it was just the word of Paul, we would never be able to trust it. Man can manipulate things. Man can distort things. Man can lie to us. But this is the word of God that we read here in the scriptures. This is truth. God is not a man that he should lie. We read in the book of Numbers. Thy word is true from the beginning. We read in Psalm 119. And this is essential. If you want to know anything, knowledge is based on truth. If you have knowledge, true knowledge, it must be based on truth. It cannot be based on fake news, for example. If you read something, fake news, that's not really knowledge. Something has just invented something and you have taken it in inadvertently. That's not really true knowledge. Knowledge, if you are to know anything in this life, it must be based on that which is true. And it must be based, therefore, entirely on the word of God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We can trust these words. We know, says the Apostle Paul, that all things work together for good. But note that it says all things work together. All things work together. What does that mean? All things work together. Well, what this is teaching us is that things do not happen just by chance. Things do not happen by a series of random occurrences or random events. There's no such thing as a fluke or an accident. That is how many people think nowadays, that everything, well, this theory of evolution that everybody believes in, is just a series of random occurrences by chance. A great gigantic fluke. But when we read the word of God, we read something entirely different. Everything is working together. Everything is working together. It's not coincidence. It's not by chance. Everything is being worked out according to a plan, a prearranged plan. Whose plan is it? Whose plan are we living to? Well, of course, it's God's plan. Everything is being worked together. Everything is being done according to the plan of God. That is the teaching of Scripture. Everything in this life, in this world, everything in time, everything in eternity is being worked out according to God's eternal purpose, according to God's eternal decree. He is over everything. There is no such thing as chance. There is only God ruling on high. God is sovereign. God is in command. That's what every Christian knows. That's what Paul knows. We know that all things work together. There's no such thing as chance. And this is so important to understand, especially as Christians. And you know, even unbelievers have an understanding of this. I've spoken to many unbelievers. And they may tell you that they don't believe in God, but they will say, yes, I don't believe in God, but I do believe in fate. I do believe in destiny. I believe that everything happens for a purpose. Isn't that interesting? They don't want to believe in God, but they do somehow. They know, just as we as Christians know, they know that everything seems to work out for a purpose, in destiny, in fate. They're willing to believe in that. But dear friends, this gives us clear light. We know that it's not simply destiny, it's not fate, it's not written in the stars. This is the will of God. God is working out everything according to his prearranged plan. So all these things come through in this verse. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. There is no calamity, there is no catastrophe. Everything is working together for God's eternal plan. And everything, well, we read here, we know that all things work together for good. Work together for good. And this is very interesting for us at the present time. Well, generally in life, we always make a division or a distinction between good things that happen to us and bad things that happen to us. That is how we look at life. There are good things that can happen to us, and there are bad things that can happen to us. A good thing might be, well, it would be a good thing if so-and-so got married. If he gets married, well, that's a good thing to happen to that person. It's a good thing if somebody has a promotion in their job. That's a good thing to happen to somebody. But then there are bad things that can happen to somebody. It would be a bad thing if somebody lost their job. It would be a bad thing if somebody was in poverty. It would be a bad thing if somebody had a great accident and broke their leg or something. That would be a bad thing. This is how we divide things up. We divide things into good things that happen to people and bad things that happen to people. But here in the Word of God, the Lord is saying to us, we know that all things work together for good. Everything that happens to us is actually good. That is what the scripture is saying to us. Even if you lost your job, it would be a good thing. Even if you injured yourself, it would be a good thing. Even if I can apply it to the present situation, even if this coronavirus enters into the world, even if the nation is put on lockdown, even if everybody is stockpiling and so on, that's a good thing. How can we say that at this present time? How can we look at what is going on in the world at the present time and say, this is good? All things work together for good. Can we say that? Yes, we can say that with certainty. Remember, this is the word of God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, of course, we're going to qualify this with those words right at the end. But you know, God is the only one who truly knows what is good for us. Do you understand that? God is the only one who knows what is truly good for us. Well, it's like, for example, a mother administering medicine to her child. The child doesn't want the medicine. It's bitter. It doesn't taste very nice. They don't want it at all. But the mother will give the medicine. Why? Because it's good for the child. It's good for them. The child doesn't want it, of course not. But the mother will give it. It's good for their health. This is the way we have to see it. We may look at the world. We may not want these things. We think these things are bad. But God knows that ultimately, this is all good for us. What good can come out of this coronavirus? You haven't answered the question, Pastor. Well, let me tell you one thing that has been good that has come out of this present trial. I have spoken to a number of pastors, and a number of them have said to me, you know, I've never had such an opportunity to talk about God as I have in the last few days. Normally, people are so hostile. Normally, people don't want to hear even the slightest thing said about God. Now, people are open to hearing about these things. Now, people suddenly want to hear about who God is, about how he can help, about what faith is, about true peace. Now, people are starting to see that this world is not all-powerful, that man is not all-powerful. Now people are starting to think about deeper things in life. not just trivial things, not just about what's on TV and about sports and everything. They're thinking about deeper things. You know, that is a good thing. That is a good thing that has happened. People are compelled to think about God. God has sent this, and we mentioned this last week, God has sent this for our good. It's a good thing to take notice of God. It's a good thing to seek Him. It's a good thing to know Him and to walk with Him and to be blessed by Him and to know His sovereign protection, to know that He is God. That is a good thing. And I hope you understand that. What does God want? Many people ask this. What does God want? God wants what is good for you. That's what God wants. He wants what is good for you. Man never wants, and this is the tragic nature of man. This is a mark of our sinful nature, and this is explained to us in the scriptures. Man never wants what is good for him. You think of a child again. What does a child really want? Well, a child wants to misbehave. You give a child any opportunity, he'll want to do something that's not good for him. A child, if you let them have their way, a child will want to eat chocolate every single day, every single meal. That's what they'll want, but of course that's not good for them. But it's in our nature, you see, to want something that is not actually good for us. And of course, as we grow up, we want things that are not good for us. Man, he doesn't want God. He doesn't want God in his life. He wants a life away from God. He wants to find joy and happiness in this world. That's what he wants. That's our nature. But that's not good for him. That's not good for him at all. Because you can never find true joy, true happiness in this world. You can't find it. It will be a fruitless search. You'll be wandering from one thing to the other thing to the other thing. It's not good for man to wander in this way. Man will never be satisfied by the joys of this world. It will keep you entertained perhaps for 2 minutes and then it will be gone. The pleasures of this life are fleeting. It's not good for man to be concerned with those things. And this is the nature of man. Man ultimately wants to do what he wants to do. He wants to go his own way. He wants to decide what is right or wrong. Man really wants to pursue after his own lusts and after his own sins. And well, that's not good for man at all. That's not good for you, because we know, of course, the scriptures tell us that one day we will have to stand before God and we will have to answer to him for our rebellion against God. We did not want God in our lives. We scoffed at God. And then at the end of our lives, we have to stand before him in judgment. And if you have rejected God, if you have not known the forgiveness of God, well, then your eternity will not be good. It will not be good for you. So God wants you to look to him and receive that which is good. He wants us, as these words say, to love him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's the important part. To them that love God. Do we love God? Dear friends, we have to speak perhaps not just to the unbeliever, but to the believers amongst us. There are many of us here. The believers amongst us. Do you love God? You know, I think that this virus, in many ways, is a judgment not just upon the unbelieving world, but upon believers. When you were attending church, when you had the church, the physical church before you, did you go to church out of love for God? Or was it really just for a social event? You weren't really going out of love for God. It was because you wanted to see your friends. Or maybe you thought that going to church had become a bit of a chore. It was something a bit boring, something you just had to do. You had to get through. We've got to go to church, it's Sunday. You didn't really love God in your hearts. Well, perhaps this is a judgment upon us. This virus is to teach us that, well, you took it for granted, you took the church for granted, you took the Lord for granted, and there was no real love in your heart, no real love for the service, no real love for that which the Lord was bringing you to. Well, therefore, the Lord will take away our privileges. He will take away all the things that perhaps we have taken for granted, so that our love for God can be restored. Dear friends, we always say this. There is no room for nominal Christianity at any time in the church, and certainly not now. We must seek the Lord. We must have love in our hearts for God. This is so important. We must love the Lord. Why must we love God? Well, because He has loved us. He has loved us. How do we know that God has loved us? Well, it's very clear from the scriptures. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how we know that God loves us. This is how it is expressed in the scriptures. How is the love of God expressed? Through the giving of His Son. You will never really know the love of God in your heart unless you know and understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. He came from heaven to earth to suffer and to die on the cross, to take upon Himself the punishment for our sin. And He did it out of love for us. Out of love. He said to God the Father, Lord, punish me instead of them. I love my people. I will die for my people. This is the love of God made manifest to us. This is the expression of the love of God. It's mentioned again, not just in John 3:16, 1 John 4 and verse 10. Herein is love. This is the definition of love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's the expression of His love in His Son. His Son being sent to be the propitiation for our sin. That wrath-ending sacrifice. That's where the love of God is most clearly seen. Again, well, we could mention many verses, but the Apostle Paul, the same Apostle, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is what it means to have faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is what our faith is. This is how we measure our faith. Do we have faith in this way? Faith in the Son of God who suffered and died for my sin. These things are so important. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Dear friends, just before we conclude, or as we draw to conclusion, we are called. We are all called. This is how we come to the Lord. Nobody is born a Christian. We are called. We are called to repentance and faith. And God is calling us, each and every one of us, to a closer walk with Him this day. God is calling us. You know, there have been many calls over the last few days, over the last few weeks. The government has called us to do many things, to be vigilant, to be sensible, to not meet in large groups. And everybody has obeyed, by and large. We've been very obedient to the call of man and to the dictates of man. But dear friends, when God calls us, When God calls us, how do we react? We have been so diligent in obeying men. Look how many liberties we have been willing to give up because the government, man, has called us to do things. But when God calls us, when God calls us to give up everything and to follow him, do we just dismiss it? Do we just say, oh, well, it's just God. Oh, if the government's told me to do something, if Boris Johnson told me to do something, well, I'd leap to it. But if God, when God calls, yeah, I'm not really going to do that. I'm just going to relax and not really take it for granted. Is that how we react? Look at how the world has reacted. All of its liberties given up. Repentance, if you like. But how many times has God called us to repentance and we have ignored it? You know, this is one of the reasons. One of the reasons why the virus has come is because God has been calling us in peacetime, as it were. God has been calling us constantly when everything was well and we have rejected him. Completely and utterly rejected him. Dear friends, hear the call of God. Hear the call of God who loves us. And well, when we hearken to the call of God, we will be blessed forever, eternally. Nothing in this world lasts forever. Good things do not last forever. This trial that we are going through at the moment does not last forever, will not last forever. But what God gives us, it lasts forever. When we come to the end of our lives, and we all will, regardless of this virus, whether it affects us or not, we will all, each one of us, come to the end of our lives. When a Christian comes to the end of his life, well, he knows that even death for him is a good thing. All things work together for good. Even death for a Christian is a good thing. How is it a good thing? Well, because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken upon himself the punishment for our sin. We are forgiven. We are accepted by God. When we die, we go to be with God, which is far better. It's a good thing, dear friends. All things work together for good. And we have that glorious eternity. We know that we will dwell in that land where there is no sickness, there is no death, there are no graves. We will be in a good place forevermore. All things at the very end of time, when it will be very clear that all things will have worked together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, these things, therefore our comfort, therefore our challenge. May the Lord bless each and every one of us and help us in the days ahead. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, we do pray that each and every one of us will hear the gospel call this day. Lord, we know that whatever happens in our lives, Lord, if we trust in thee, if we look to thee, if we love thee, all things will work together for good. Lord, we trust even now that this present trial is for good. Lord, that we will return as a church stronger than we were before, more zealous than we were before, that those who were previously lost will be added to the kingdom. Oh, dear Lord, we know, because thy word says so, that we will emerge out of this trial in a better place, in a better state, rejoicing thee with hearts full of greater love. O Lord, may it be so. May we not be lax. May we not be negligent. May we not be so fearful as to obey man and not the living God. O Lord, help us, we pray. Provide for us, we pray. Keep us safe, each one, we pray. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.